Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus, and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Good afternoon. Welcome to this Monday's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. You're on UK Health Radio. I hope you're having a lovely day. It's a bit blustery where I am in North Yorkshire today. I'm not sure what's going on in the rest of the country, but welcome, welcome, welcome to this kind of new beginning, a new start to this week. So as you know, I always, always start off with a little bit of news. I think the hot topic right now, apart from everything else that's going on in the world, on the world stage, was it was International Women's Day on Saturday, on March the 8th, the day to celebrate women. I mean, that's a pretty extraordinary thing in itself. But let me just say that on Saturday, my Green Pod, which is my sustainability company, my wife is the editor, and we actually put out our International Women's Day magazine issue. And I just wanted to read you a little bit of an overview of that issue. First of all, there's a reason why the theme for 2025's International Women's Day is this year, Accelerate Action. And it's a very good one. So, according to the World Economic Forum, at the current rate of progress, it will take until, check this, 2158, year 2158, roughly 5 generations from now, to reach full gender parity. How mad is that? That's the kind of speed that we're accelerating unity and balance with our gender equality. It goes on to say, around the world, women's rights are being abused, threatened, and violated. Progress won over decades is vanishing before our eyes. Now, the good news is that there's a strong desire and growing momentum for change. Awareness of gender injustice is on the rise, and with it, the will to dismantle systemic barriers that perpetuate inequalities, from unequal pay and limited access to education to underrepresentation in positions of political and corporate leadership. These injustices aren't just about women's rights, they're symptoms of a deep-rooted bias that reminds us our current systems, which are based on domination, extraction, and profit at all costs, are outdated and unfit for purpose. As Earth Day, there's an organization called earthday.org, and as they said, and their president Kathleen Rogers notes in an article in this My Green Pod magazine issue on the power of protest. She says International Women's Day has always been a powerful platform for highlighting the intersection of gender equality and environmental justice. We know that climate change is not gender neutral. It's estimated that 4 out of 5 people displaced by the impacts of climate change are women and girls. Yet Throughout history, women have also been powerful agents of change. Now is the time to wield that power, and this issue profiles some of the inspiring women who are doing just that. So if you are interested in supporting women, the uprising of the feminine, because it's, of course, not just about women. It's also the feminine and the masculine balance qualities within each of us. But if you are interested in reading about more or supporting that, please go to mygreenpod.com. You can download the free digital version of this month's magazine. And as I said, we have loads of articles in there, but that particular one is from Kathleen Rogers, who's the CEO of Earth Day Organization. She's going to be heavily featured in our next issue. But there's a nice little segue there to today's guest. So do go and check out mygreenpod.com, download the issue, share it with your friends, do, you know, comment and give us any feedback, any you know, inspirational moments or women in your life. Remember, you can also enter them into the People Environment Achievement Awards, which is our annual ceremony now in its 15 years, honoring people that are doing amazing things for sustainability and the climate crisis. So, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that you can do to support those amazing people. But let me move on to today's guest. So today's guest is a gentleman called Alexis Rockman. Now, he's going to tell us a bit more about this, but the link to Earth Day is he has just created this year's Earth Day poster, which incidentally I've seen. It's amazing. We are going to be publishing it in our next issue of My Green Pod. But before I invite him on, let's let me tell you a little bit about Alexis. So he's a painter based in Warren, Connecticut. He's an environmental activist who began making paintings and works on paper to build environmental awareness in the mid-1980s. Gosh, he's been at it longer than me. Embarking on expeditions to distant locations like Antarctica and Madagascar in the company of professional naturalists. His work tells stories of natural histories confronting the dystopian future of the biodiversity crisis, global warming, and genetic engineering. Rockman's work has been exhibited around the world and showcased at prestigious galleries and museums, including the Venice Biennale, the Carnegie Museum of Art, the Smithsonian American Art Museum, and Serpentine Galleries, presumably in London. I guess that's the Serpentine over here. Rockman worked on the 2012 movie Life of Pi, I love that film, with Ang Lee as inspirational artist. Recent exhibitions include Alexis Rockman Oceanus, a major exhibition that premiered at Mystic Seaport Museum in 2023 and is now touring. So Mark Dion and Alexis Rockman, Journey to Nature's Underworld, the first two-person exhibition, and these closely allied artists opened at the Lau Art Museum in February 2025, so just last month. The show will tour to four additional museums. Alexis, welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. Thank you for joining us from America. I guess it's pretty early where you are.
Yes, you can thank daylight savings for everything. agrarian fantasy. Thank you for that introduction, Jarvis, and I'm happy to be here.
No, I'm happy you're here. When you hear kind of your bio read out, is there anything that you feel is missing from that? Like, I wish I'd said.
I mean, I have all sorts of things that are on my bucket list, but in terms of what I've done, I see you have the same cat I do.
Oh yes, my cat's just decided to come and join the show. Same one.
Mackerel tabby. I tell her she's 1 in 7 billion. So that's fine, Jarvis. I'm happy to hear it, and you know, there's. It sounds impressive.
It does indeed. It does indeed. But are you, for example, are you a family man? Do you have
children?
Yeah, I
live here with my wife. Married? My wife, who Dorothy Spears, who's an artist and a writer. She writes about art for the New York Times. And she has two sons that I consider mine. And they're 32 and 29, Alex and Ferran. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I need that type of stability if I'm going to think about these terrifying things all day long.
Yeah, and you've been at it since since 80s, early 80s, I assume. I mean, back in the day, the word sustainability didn't even mean anything. There definitely wasn't a climate crisis or even mention of climate
Well, it was
change,
in the
but
works, Jarvis. That horse was out of the barn 150 or 75 years ago. So
yeah.
ExxonMobil knew about it.
Oh, yes, they did indeed. Yes, they did indeed. And they're getting caught. It's catching up with them now,
I hope
thankfully.
so. Yeah.
What inspired you to get on the kind of, beating a drum about the climate crisis?
When you're a young artist, you're looking for a way into mattering and material or content that no one else is dealing with. So, I'd looked to some of the earth artists, or I would say, and people like Robert Smithson were big influences on me, in terms of their approach to content, even though my work doesn't look anything like his. You have to find your way into mattering, and that seemed to be a territory that I couldn't find anyone else that was doing work about it. Then I met Mark Dion in the late 80s, and we had a lot of overlaps, even though our work doesn't really look alike. He's more of an installation sculptor.
Yeah.
I was overjoyed that I had the childhood passion for this content. My mom's an archaeologist, and she worked at the Museum of Natural History, and it seemed like I love to draw animals and I love science, and here we are.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. So, how did the art journey start for you, and what kind of artist would you say you are today? So, how did it start, first of all?
Well, I ended up going to, I was in high school. I graduated in 1980, and had to think about what I was going to do next, which I didn't really feel like I had any options because I wasn't a particularly good student. But I loved to draw, and I loved movies, and I loved animation, and I was very disciplined about the things that I liked or loved. So, I grew up obsessed with Ray Harryhausen and, Sid Mead and Giger and those people. And I wanted to be what I ended up doing on Life of Pi, which is, make pictures that the movie production would use as reference, and you could th imagine anything you wanted, and then they'd have to figure it out in the analog world in that era. So I went to film school at Rhode Island School of Design, and somehow came back to the city where I grew up, and went to School of Visual Arts and switched into painting. And it was very lucky because there were so many young artists that were, not having any of this like minimalism or anything like that. And there was a market where if you made paintings, you could sell them and somehow eke out a living.
Nice. And has it been a rocky road for you, or have you had a wonderful, lovely, abundant time
Those
creating
are
art?
two spectrums that somewhere in there, it's like, there's ups and downs. 40 years, Jarvis.
Yeah, it's a long time. What kind of artist would you say you are today? So just tell us about your medium. So
I make
what kind of
paintings.
art is it?
I mean, I don't know what that means, but I make paintings about the history of natural history and our relationship to ourselves being animals and our ambivalence about it.
Yeah,
So
wonderful. So
what type of artist I am.
would you consider yourself to be a painter then? I mean, is that kind of just so our listeners can get a feel for
Yeah,
what
I mean,
we're going to be talking about, yeah?
sure, I'm a painter, but I deal with ideas, and there's a big part of what I do which has to do with research. I work with scientists. I'm about to start a big project for the Jewish Museum in New York about the history of the Fertile Crescent and the Middle East. So you can imagine that I'm
Wow.
sure offend everyone. And that's, it's going to take me a lot of research to figure out what I want to do.
Yeah, nice, nice. Okay, fantastic, fantastic. Okay, so look, this show is specifically focused around this thing we're calling a crisis. I've got my kind of particular take on it, but what I do know is that art has this huge opportunity and this huge influence in shifting a narrative or mass mobilizing people. Tell us a little bit about your experience of how art can awaken or can shift consciousness from your perspective as an artist.
I'd have to take exception with that, Jarvis. I think it's been a complete failure.
Well, nice, great. Tell me
Sorry
more.
to say.
No, tell me more.
I think that there are other mediums and vehicles that are far more effective. It's just been a disaster in terms of what art can do. I mean, I just think that that has been a complete failure. I started making paintings about the climate crisis in the mid to late 90s, and then I spent about 5 years working on a painting called Manifest Destiny that's in the Smithsonian. Now it's up with a Thomas Moran. It's 24 feet long by 8 feet tall, and figure it out in meters. That imagined, with the help of scientists, what the melted ice caps were going to do to New York City.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I can bring this picture to the public, I was very excited because it was part of the Brooklyn Museum's grand reopening in 2004. And I was on the cover of the New York Times and every possible media platform. It was a huge success 21 years ago. And then the movie The Day After Tomorrow came out 2 weeks later and made a joke of it, which is
Yeah.
about global warming. So I don't think that painting or art or anything to do with that type of that it's basically a ghetto, right? It's not emotionally persuasive the way movies or streaming stuff can be. And I think that what the world really needs is a China syndrome of the climate crisis to hammer home what the implications are. There's so many stories. There was a very well-intentioned, but I think slightly flat Apple series called Extrapolations. I don't know if you're aware of that series. Oh,
No,
I mean,
no.
that's, you should be, because Scott Z. Burns, who's a very talented screenwriter, he wrote Contagion and Traffic for Steven Soderbergh. I mean, very talented. I was involved at some point in possibly doing a campaign of images for each episode. Each episode was imagining in 8 years what the climate crisis was going to do to a particular demographic. And very smart people involved. It just didn't catch on. And the fact that you don't even know about it is a terrible failure. And I think what happened was Scott and his production company, who I really liked, were talking to me about doing these posters or these images, and Apple was not interested in paying a dime. I mean, I would have done it almost for free. And, you know, just some sort of gesture. And they were like, no, they're not interested. So they basically shot the thing down and made sure that it was buried. I think that was a great opportunity that didn't work out. So, but we need people that are talented. The problem is these stories haven't been successful. And, you know, corporate America or global capitalism feels like if they don't need to make money like Amazon, because that, you know, Amazon Prime streaming is really about just basically keeping people addicted to buying stuff on Amazon.com.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't have to make money from this, but they need to feel like it's going to bring prestige or something that, you know, matters to them. So anyway.
No, that's brilliant. I think you're right. I mean, we're probably of similar ages. I was born in 1970, and when I talk about the arts, and you're absolutely right, you're focusing in on the kind of art that you do. But when I talk about the arts, I was thinking about music, I was thinking about film, I was thinking about, but actually, in your genre, or your lane. You're right. Let's go to a commercial break quickly, Alexis, because there is a deeper conversation I want to get into you with. Everybody that's out there, please don't go away, because I'm gonna ask a little bit more to Alexis about how he got into, bringing art and film together. I think The Life of Pi is going to be an interesting story. We'll talk about the Earth Day poster that you submitted, and that's a really interesting story. I want to get into that, but we'll nip to a commercial break. Don't go away. We'll be back with Alexis shortly. See you in a second.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. If you've just tuned in, this is Jarvis Smith. You're on Lean Into Clean on UK Health Radio. I'm talking to artist Alexis Rockman, who actually delivered this year's Earth Day 2025 poster. Before we get into that, Alexis, just tell me about the Life of Pi. I mean, everybody knows that film. It was an extraordinary film. How did that come about for you? And what did you actually do? What was your role in it?
So my wife and I have a very close friend named Jean Castelli, who had been working with Ang Lee since the Ice Storm as a producer and part of his production team. And we shared that we were, you know, we'd go out to dinner and we're very geeky film freaks and talk about whatever, and basically alienate our wives who don't care about the film history in the same way. So, you know, that went on for, we met in the late 90s, and I got a call from him in 2009 saying, you know, Ang is interested in talking to you about the making a movie version of The Life of Pi, which I'd heard of. And he said, well, why don't you read that? And then he wants to meet with you next week. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Okay.
About time. So I read the book, and which I thought was interesting. Didn't love it. And went over to his loft, which was about a 5-minute walk from my studio in Tribeca at the time. And he said, I brought a book with me. I had big, you know, many books of my work. We talked, he talked about the project. He said, why don't you read the script? And if you're available, I'd like to hear what you can might be able to help with. So I read the script and knew immediately I could help with not only the overall look of the movie once you leave Pondicherry, right? Once you're in nature or on the ocean, I helped with the shipwreck sequence when the zoo animals are attacking each other and the people. And I helped with I designed the island. I actually thought of the way the island should look when I was in Madagascar, because I had to take a already scheduled trip to Madagascar during the production. And then I designed the underwater sequence where Pi and Richard Parker, the tiger, come together and go on some sort of inner journey where they become one and recognize whatever cosmology you want to project into a theological or whatever. Jean and I came up with that idea on the subway platform going from Ang's office on 27th Street back down to, he lives in the Lower East Side and my studio is in Tribeca. So I made a bunch of drawings over 3.5 years and, you know, didn't hear from them for 8 months here and there. They went off and filmed it. And the movie looks pretty much like the drawings. It was great. And you know, Ang was so great to work with. He just basically, he has great people around him. He's a great storyteller. And he basically said very little, but what he did say was enough to nudge you in the direction. I think it became a much better artist after that, understanding, you know, parts of what I do are storytelling in a sort of minimal way. He always says, say it once and say it well, and don't get too complicated. So.
Yeah, nice. That must have been such a thrilling experience for you. Like, has there been a time where you felt like you've really impacted the audience with your art? Like, has there been a moment where I was like, yes, that hit the spot. That really hit the spot.
It's hard to say, Jarvis, because so much of what I do is not there. You know, the work is somewhere. I see people. I always get. Where I often get photographs or see on social media people in front of my work and how important it is to them, which is nice. But, you know, that's sort of like you sent your kids off to college and now they have a job. And
yeah.
That's what I'm doing. So I'm trying to, you know, I'm thinking about what I'm doing next. And, you know, that's gratifying, but not really what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, you move on. So what are you thinking about at the moment? What's like?
Well, I had a show come down in New York City about the history and future of Naples, Italy. So that is going off to a museum in Naples and it's a multi-person institutional show, including Mark Dion and his wife, Dana Sherwood, at
nice.
Maura Greco, and I am starting to think about this Jewish museum project in the Middle East. So that's I think next on my plate.
Yeah, okay, cool. So we're going to get into Earth Day. Before we do that, let's play your first record. And everybody that's listening, I always ask my guests to bring a couple of songs that are soundtracks to their life or the work that they're involved in, their purpose. So, what song you've given us two? What song are you going to choose first, Alexis? What are we going to go
I
with?
think Johan had It's All Too Much. And the reason I chose, first of all, as a kid that was born in 1962, you couldn't escape the Beatles, especially because my mother loved them. But I'm always attracted to sort of more peripheral, your cat has similar behavior to me, which is very affectionate. Songs that there's a very psychedelic, it was done as the Sgt. Pepper was being put to bed, and I think in many ways it's one of their best songs because it's really out there.
Great. This is It's All Too Much, obviously, by
It's really
the
George
Beatles.
Harrison, I think, but it's every one of them.
Nice. Here we go. That's so nice to hear the Beatles. Such a great band. You know, when I talk about art and influence, like they're the kind of bands that I'm talking about. Bands that, art that is music and think that have changed culture. But I guess what you're saying is that unfortunately, visual art hasn't really changed culture.
Well, it's changed culture in a lot of ways, but it hasn't changed what we're talking about, which is, environmental justice or whatever
Yeah.
umbrella you want to put up. So, I mean, Mondrian changed graphic design.
Yes, true. Yep.
So there's, many things in culture start in the so-called fine art world, for lack of a better word, and migrate elsewhere, but it hasn't been effective so far.
Why do you think art isn't? Because I agree with you, actually, it's the one, probably the most serious issue of humanity's time
Ever.
where art could have such a huge influence, all of the arts. And you're absolutely right. Nothing has hit the spot. Why do you think that is?
I think it's probably a combination of profound resistance because it whatever we're talking about is expensive and painful, and there are many forces that have their paychecks dependent on perpetuating their business model, and they're far more persuasive than any art could be.
Yeah, absolutely right. I remember I'm drawn back to the pandemic when, the whole world was kind of, shut inside. Industry stopped or slowed down. People stopped going to work, people stopped flying, people stopped buying non-essential goods. Within a matter of weeks, the air quality came back in places like, Delhi, and, bird song began to just be around us everywhere, and people started reconnecting with nature. So we've clearly got an opportunity to kind of look at how, by stopping what we're doing on the treadmill can have a positive impact. But you're right. It just seems like it just hasn't sunk into people's reality that this is a major issue.
Well, we can all root for the next pandemic, right?
Well, it's not going to be long until science is going to be showing us that we can't go outside because it's too hot. We can't go outside because you can't breathe. We can't drink the water because it's poisonous. I hope it's not going to be in our lifetime, but it's the way things are going, it's definitely going to be in our kids' lifetime.
I think you can count on bird flu being a problem, so that's a
Yeah,
consolation.
fair. So tell me about the Earth Day journey. So why did you? I mean, I know a bit about the story, but tell it to our listeners from
Sure.
your perspective. How did that come about?
Well, first of all, Earth Day as a thing I knew about because of Robert Rauschenberg doing the first one in 1970. And we own, my wife used to work at the gallery where he was represented, Leo Castelli, in the 80s. And he is in a character in her memoir that she just finished of when he was, doing an exhibition at the Leo Castelli Gallery in 1988. So that was very much on my radar as a sort of a successful environmental image. And I got an email from Elizabeth Braun, who is the former director of the Smithsonian American Art Museum, where I had a survey show in 2010, which is a retrospective while you're still alive. And she asked me if I was interested in talking to the people at Earth Day about possibly doing an image for the poster. And I said, well, absolutely. That's on my bucket list of things I want to do. And we, to make a long story short, had a period of about 6 weeks going back and forth with ideas about what would make sense for me and for them. And it was, you know, a process where I came up with sketches and sent them six ideas and they said no. It started out much more sort of cautionary or frightening, and they were determined to have something that was positive. And renewable energy, specifically solar. So that was just like a challenge to figure mm-hmm. out how to make that work. And one of the things that I'm happy about with the poster is the solution of having, you know, the iconography of the crowd reflected with the forest so it can be psychedelic and also have this very rigorous grid over it to show that it is a piece of technology. So mm-hmm. it's reflected. The whole image is basically reflected in a solar panel.
Nice. So listen, if you want to check out that piece of artwork, which I would highly recommend because it is really beautiful and stimulating, you can go to earthday.org, all one word, earthday.org, and you can check out the poster, the press release, and all the information about it. It's a stunning, stunning piece of artwork. How did it come together? So was that was it drawn, or you used some quite interesting techniques, didn't you?
Watercolor. If I remember rightly?
It's watercolor. Got it. Okay. For some reason, I must have misunderstood what I was reading. So do go and check it out, earthday.org. What's going to happen with that poster? How it's going to be used in all the Earth Day promotional activity?
Yeah, I mean, let's see what happens. I mean, you know, I hope I get a t-shirt.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, I think you definitely deserve a t-shirt.
All there. They own it and it's their thing.
Got it. We are going to be publishing that artwork in our Earth Day issue of My Green Pod. So do go and sign up at mygreenpod.com. Sign up to be a part of the newsletter and you will receive a free issue of that magazine when it comes out. Are you going to be, we've got an event happening in Times Square on Earth Day. We're a music concert in partnership with Earth Day. Are you going to be around, Alexis?
Actually, no one told me about anything to do with this, and I have a long-standing commitment to be in Tacoma, Washington, to give a lecture that day. And
what a shame! It would have been nice to meet you.
No one has still invited me, so I don't know.
Well, you're certainly invited from my perspective. So if the time works, I think you're fantastic.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, at least you know you've been invited. It's nice to be offered, right?
Yes.
let's go to our second commercial break. We have to do these, obviously, just to give gratitude to our partners and sponsors. So we're going to cut to a commercial break. Do not go away. We're going to be back with Alexis after the break. We're going to play his second song, which I'm super excited to hear. I'll see you back here shortly.
The station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean on this very blustery Monday in the UK. I'm here with Alexis Rockman. We're talking about his Earth Day poster that he created for the Earth Day, which is coming up on April the 22nd. We are actually going to be having a few more guests down the line in relation to that. But this is a quote that Alexis wrote about that particular poster. And he said, "Humans are an almost entirely visual species, and art can and should convey complex and highly emotional images that go directly
I
to our
misquoted
hearts." Say that again.
myself. Should be.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, this is true. After listening carefully to the Earth Day team, I felt this image of a forest and a diverse crowd of people reflected in a solar panel conveyed the idea of solar power being the best direction collectively for our needs, with the least impact on the rest of the planet. There is still time to make a difference. Alexis, you are in a country where whose leader has literally turned the whole climate agenda on its head, pulled out most of the narrative from its presidential website, the White House website, and seems to be pretty anti-renewable energy. What do you think about that? Without getting too political, but as an artist, you're allowed to be, right?
Why wouldn't I get political?
Oh, good, 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 good. Go for it.
It's a disgrace and appalling, and I can't say enough negative things about it. Do you have 25 years to discuss it?
Well, I mean, yes, no, obviously we don't, but what I am interested to know is, what exactly, why is it important that, and why are people not standing up against him, or are they? Because obviously we're in the UK, we don't really get to hear much about American news. We get to hear about all Trump's propaganda. We get to hear all about
I mean,
that.
I find it, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
How greedy and like selfish and idiotic can you be? I mean,
Yeah.
if you want to like, write a version of, treachery and villainy in Western culture or any culture, you couldn't write it any better. I mean, these people are just disgust me.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I think that's it. I think you've said it how you feel it. Do you not think that sometimes in these types of situations, I remember, for example, when Trump was in office before and he pulled out of the Paris Agreement the first time, it actually put the Paris Agreement on the global map because all of the countries then came out and said, "So do we not need adversity and
There's enough
polarization?"
adversity.
Yeah.
I think there's enough adversity.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. What are you hoping is going to happen? Can you see any? Can you
I
give us
can't
any?
say that without suggesting anything illegal.
Okay, fair enough. No, I hear you. I think there's a lot of people listening, kind of clapping and respecting your approach to this, your response. Let's talk about something else. Let's spin to another area. Let's lighten up the mood with your next song.
That's not light. That's a sad song.
Well, okay, let's change the vibe then with your next song. Tell us what song you're going to play.
I am gonna play "Mercy, Mercy Me," the Ecology, which could be one of the greatest songs about the environment. There's a handful that are great. So I enjoy and get out your handkerchief.
One of the best songs ever written. This is "Mercy, Mercy Me" by the legend Marvin Gaye. What do you feel when you hear that song, Alexis? What emotions does it stir up in you?
Well, it was recorded and came out in 1971, which is really the apex of the first wave of environmental movement in America that led to the passing of the Clean Water Act in 1973. And I'm very interested in that period because it is one of the few success stories that we have, certainly in America. I consider that in the pantheon of that era, Silent Spring being the beginning of it, Rachel Carson's seminal book, drawing attention to post-industrial or industrial waste and pesticides and the effects of industrial farming and other activities, certainly in America, that led to the environmental crisis after the World War II. So I see it as a very sort of inspiring but tragic era because, of course, Marvin Gaye was killed by his father in the mid 80s, 15 years later. So, there's a melancholy to it, but a tinge of hope.
Yeah, okay. I remember that. Funnily enough, I wrote a well, produced a film, should I say? No, I didn't write it. I worked with Marc Dubois, who was the guy in 70, I think it was 73, who chained himself to the bottom of a riverbed before they built a big dam, and they were going to flood that particular area of his. And he was the most wanted man in the UK. So we made a film about it called "The Voice of a River," using art there to stimulate and awaken people. If you could create a piece of art that you knew would touch everybody on the planet around the crisis, what would it look like?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have a handful of film or streaming, whatever you want to call it, projects about exactly that that I can't be specific about because I'd have to kill everyone.
That's 8 billion people
Another
listening to this show.
illegal activity. But let's just say that I have some ideas and stay tuned.
Okay, well, can we get you back on the show? Because
Well,
if you can't talk about it now, but
I would love that. It's, as I said, there's been a nothing but disaster for platforms or studios that have invested their resources in these types of projects that have these issues. So I think that it's an uphill struggle because of the genre, but hope springs eternal.
yeah, and I think you're right. There does need to be a massive shift. It's a problem, isn't it? Because as you've identified, people are so addicted to, the Netflixes and the Primes and the Spotifys and all this kind of pretty much homogenized kind of mainstream commercial stuff that keeps people just kind of hooked into the old paradigm narrative. So yeah, I'm waiting for some art to really shock and wake people up. So good. Any way I can help, please do not let me know. I'm gonna give you an upgrade. So you've become president of the United States. You've kicked Trump out.
Uh-oh.
Everybody realized that art is the way forward, and you are the man to lead the country. What's going to be your top three things that you would do as in your first 3 days in office?
Oh, wow, you really pulled a fast one on me. let's see. Let's just say I would try to put into place policies with the help of Congress, not executive mandates, which is the coward's way
I
forward.
think dictatorship is all right. I think that's all
All
right.
right, so let's just say that every policy that will give environmental and social justice to everyone without undermining the economy. There you go.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. And would you make sure that everybody has to focus on at least an hour of art every day, whether
No,
it's
I don't think art isn't for everyone. Anyone can be an artist and anything can be art, but I don't try to, proselytize that art is the way forward.
No, I hear you. I hear you. If we're coming to the end of the show, we literally have about 3 or 4 minutes. But is there anything you wish I'd asked you? Is there a question you think, Jarvis, man, I wish you'd asked me this?
Oh, no, Jarvis. I mean, well, here's a question for you.
Go
How
on.
do you feel the UK is doing in terms of its place in the environmental movement?
Oh, man. I mean, not great. I mean, well, look, we are a little bit ahead of the States, I think, in terms of some of the commitments that we've made. So I don't want to be too negative, but as you've identified, the problem is that we're trying to grow when we know that just growth for the sake of growth is wrecking the planet. We're using up way too many of the Earth's resources too quickly, so we know that's got to slow down. So until we can put eco back in the economy. The three
Good one.
letters eco, then we're up shit creek without a paddle, aren't we? So I'm not impressed. I did a lot of work with the previous government. I was involved in the COP events that happened up in Glasgow. I did my TED talk up there actually. And my kind of message to everybody was, let's not forget that nature is a part of our everyday lives and actually, you know, gives us the materials for every single commodity that we use, eat, drive in, work from, etc. At the very least, if we could respect Mother Nature, then we might be on the beginning path to becoming some kind of solution. But the government aren't going to care about that because it doesn't make the money, does it?
No.
What about you? What do you think about the UK?
You know, I don't know enough to have an opinion. I mean, I'm fond of the UK for many reasons, but I don't know anything about their environmental positions.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty good in the grand scheme of things in terms of investment in renewable energy. There's some amazing companies. I'll give a shout out to Octopus Energy. We're becoming quite big in the States actually now. Do you know them? Have you heard of them?
Oh, but it reminds me of the Standard Oil cartoon from the late 19th century of an octopus spanning the continental U.S. with its tentacle in every major city.
Ah, well, that's exactly what Octopus Energy are starting to do. So they've prioritized a half-hour billing system, so you can kind of use the grid as efficiently as possible, which is actually quite clever. And you know, a large, vast majority of their energy comes from renewables. So with Earth Day being all about renewable energy, our power, our people, or our people, our power. You know, let's give a shout out to Earth Day. Alexis, thank you so much for being on the show. You've been an absolute legend. I would love to get you back on so we can hear about your next kind of climate project. Thank you very much for joining us. What are you going to do for the rest of the day? What's on the plan?
I'm about to go in and pat the same cat you have, get another cup of coffee, and get to work on a painting of mushrooms.
Oh, right. Lovely. Will you send me a picture of it?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Great joining you. Thank you very much, Alexis. Don't forget to go and check out Alexis's work at earthday.org. Download the poster. You can do stuff with it because it's actually available where you can get it printed onto materials. You could put it on a T-shirt. There's all kinds of stuff you should do. So go and support it. And let's just create more awareness around the importance of saving people. The planet will be fine. It will look after itself. But Earth Day is highlighting that. Thanks, Alexis.
You got it, Jarvis. Thank you for asking.
Not at all. It's been a pleasure. So we are going to end the show, as always, with my rendition of Save the World, a song that I made in partnership with Greta Thunberg to raise money for the most affected people and areas, the young people, as part of the Fridays for Futures movement. It's been a great pleasure having you on the show today. Enjoy the rest of whatever's going on UK Health Radio today. I'm Jarvis Smith, and this is Save the World by yours truly, featuring Rita Mora. Enjoy.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.